Visit us online at www.thehype873.com.
That's right. It is your girl, Tampa Mystic, and we are here in ATL on The Hype 87.3. I have a superstar checking in tonight. Super talented. He goes by the name of Cal. What's going on? How you doing?
I am good. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for taking some time with us here on The Hype. That way we can get to know you and learn your journey. And I'm excited to have you here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. Well, listen, go ahead and give us that official introduction of who Cal is.
So my name is Cal. I am a singer, songwriter, rapper out of Jersey City. And yeah, man, I just dropped the project Rebirth and Revelations close to the end of last year. It's out. It's my most recent project that I really enjoy. It's a nice blend of R&B and hip hop. And now I'm in the process of just singing wherever and all over so people can hear this great music.
Yes, absolutely. Well, again, I appreciate you taking some time with us tonight because I know you have a lot going on. So let's just dive right on into it, jump into it. Are you originally from New Jersey?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Let's take it back. It's always important that people understand your journey because, you know, you've got musically inclined family members, which we'll dive into. But right now we want to talk about Cal. Take us back to your childhood. What was it like growing up in New Jersey?
It was pretty cool. I mean, I was fortunate enough to live on a block that we had an actual neighborhood. Like, you know, all the kids on the block grew up together. And there was like that camaraderie and even like extended family kind of situation. So, as far as growing up, it was very much always surrounded by, warmth, love, and honestly just a space to create and do your own thing as well, because I even got started in music, really with my childhood friends from the block. We all started our own, they started their own band. I was the baby. So I jumped in a little bit later, but it was a band called AMPM, and we used to do shows for the city of Jersey City. And we make our little money and we perform and stuff like that. And that's where I really first got like a taste of doing this stuff on my own. And it was like, wow, okay. It's kind of fun to do. And then, you know, over time it evolved, but that's what it was like for me. I had great creative friends, and we did all different sorts of things, and when we finally touched on music, kind of stuck for me a little bit.
I love it. Let's talk about AMPM. What type of music were you guys creating?
So at the time we were doing some cover stuff, and then we were doing some original, but it was a mixture of like R&B, and of course, like, I was like the hip-hop kind of addition. We do dope stuff on stage where we play our different records that we worked on. And one record that we did when I would sing before we moved to the hip hop was I do John Mayer's Gravity, right? Mm. And then, and keep in mind, like, some of these places we're going to, I'm too young to be there, but I'm there. So, you know, I got to hide in the corner. But then after we get through with that, I'd hide in the corner for a second, then I'd come back on. And we do like a different portion of the show where the band would just kind of get into a groove and I would freestyle rap. And that was kind of the thing. And the audience would kind of be like in awe that this is all just coming off the top. So that's what we did. A mixture of just like our own original stuff, R&B. And then we'd have like those kind of moments as well.
That is awesome. Do you still have contact with or ever make music with any of the other band members?
Oh yeah, no. These guys, man, look, I'm an uncle to quite a few kids now. But and yeah, we still talk, we still work, we still create. So it hasn't stopped. It's just when everybody went away to school, and that's what kind of broke everybody up because we were all in different states.
Right.
So life took us in a different direction. But we are all still creating. I think just about every member of the band in some way, shape, or form is still tapped in with music. So I love it. We love it. And we always watch each other and are rooting for each other and watching each other grow.
I love that. That is amazing. I love hearing those type of stories because oftentimes you hear about people who were in a group or a band together and then later on they're like, I don't deal with them anymore. So that's beautiful
right.
That you guys still have so much love for each other, support each other. That's beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm fortunate to have them.
Yes, definitely. Did you ever dive into playing any instruments?
Yeah. So again, starting out with my friends, right? one of my friends who was in the group, Kenan, he played guitar, but he also played drums. And I remember when we first started all trying to collectively get into music, he was kind of, it was him and a few guys from church, Damon and Denzel. They were more musically inclined at the time. And then I wanted to get involved. So they were like, look, Tina was like, well, I get drum lessons from this spot over here in Newark. You should go check out my drum instructor. Mm. From there, I started playing drums and I didn't look back. You know, it was fun and a dope experience and just a great thing to learn. So that's kind of where I got into the instruments.
Absolutely. That is amazing. Now, do you still actively play the drums?
Unfortunately, I only play my pad. I having a drum set in an apartment right now would get me kicked out of my apartment. So it's been difficult now because I'm living in that kind of space. But
understood.
I definitely want to get back on the set because boy am I itching just to play and get the skills right.
Absolutely. I've always had a found respect for people who can play instruments because it takes a real skill set to learn how to play any type of instrument. And then you do what, you know, you're a singer, you're a songwriter, you said you rap, you do a little bit of everything. So you're an all around entertainer.
Yeah, definitely. And you're right. It's definitely a discipline that comes with it. So I'm trying to hold on to it. I don't want to let go.
Absolutely. And you're young, so you still got a long time that you could utilize it. Do you think that if you do get back into playing drums, it'll be something that you want to do as a part of a band again?
I don't know. I think if I was to do it now, I would maybe once in a while, if it was something, it would have to be purely off passion. As far as getting back into drums for me now, I think I want to flip that into just more production for future music, future ideas, maybe future collaborations with other artists. That's where I would want to take, you know, that journey if, you know, when I'm back in that space of playing the drums more frequently.
Absolutely. You had basically a very early start getting involved in the entertainment industry and music because, you know, both of your parents are involved in the music industry. I'll let you, you know, introduce who they are because that's so special. Do you feel like being that you were brought up in a household that was the main influence for you wanting to do music?
So no, absolutely not. I'll introduce them. My dad is the lead singer of the Manhattans, Grammy Award winning group, toured the world, did the whole nine. And my mother, choreographer, dancer, she did the same thing, toured the world, got to dance with some of the biggest acts, and that was their thing. They have an amazing story, and I hope one day they get to tell it because it's so dope when I hear the things that they tell me. But at the time, no, it was just that was work. That was my parents' work. I just, oh, y'all are we're at this venue for this gig. I'm backstage. I'm on my Game Boy. I don't care who's walking by me, whether, you know, it's an artist that now I look at and I'm like, oh my God, I have a picture with that person. And I didn't even know the significance of them to art at the time because I'm a kid.
Yes.
But that wasn't it. It was just normal for me. The influence didn't really start to form for me until I met a young man who passed away, who was a classmate of mine in grade school, named Eric West. His brother at the time was a rapper, and I think he was pursuing a career at Def Jam. This is back during the MySpace days. So I remember Eric was like, yo, me and my brother freestyle in the house. This is just what we do. We kind of recreationally, and it also, you know, helps him. He writes and stuff like that. So it's always helping sharpen his skills. And when he showed me that, I immediately was like, oh, I could do that. That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
And from there, it started out as kind of the same thing, recreational hobby. And as like I just continued, you know, as I grew up, it moved from recreational hobby to like this thing that I really had a passion for, just in respect to the art and the craft of it, and putting together different bars and rhyme schemes and using different literary devices. So that's where it went for me. So music, I first started looking at it through the lens of something to pursue was through rapping.
Yes.
I didn't even start looking at singing until high school.
Mm.
And then, you know what I mean? And that came about mainly because it was just about trying to get into college and you want to have some extra on your resume.
Yeah.
That, you know, that whole thing. But I will say the one influence that my parents did have, specifically my dad in this instance, was that when I did decide to start singing, I was very particular about my voice because I grew up hearing what good singing sounded like.
Right.
So that for me was like, oh, okay, I'm not there yet. I'd do different things and I'd sing songs and I'd be in the back of my head like, this is not it. This is not, we have work to do. This is, you know, we're going to get there. And that, and honestly, it helped me because it made me raise the bar and held myself to a standard that now when I sing, I'm comfortable. I know what I'm doing. I feel comfortable in what I'm doing. And it took me having that example early in my life to know what to strive for. So that was, I think, the influence for me. But just the pursuit of music in general, that wasn't on the radar until I was introduced to just freestyling and rapping.
I love it. Do you feel like your parents wanted you to get involved, or was it never really any kind of pressure from them per se?
No, it was definitely no pressure from them. I mean, it was there if I wanted to do it, but it was never a mandatory thing. I was all over the place, and they were fine with that.
I love that, you know, because, you know, obviously the Manhattans is legendary. My favorite record ever from them is Shining Star, which I think everybody knows that song, you know, like,
oh yeah,
just
absolutely
legendary. Now, I know your mom is a professional dancer, choreographer. Was that something that you followed in her footsteps, learning to dance?
I mean, she had me in all the classes. I can't. That was mandatory, but it was part of, that was just her job as well.
Yes.
So it was something to keep me active. And then also it was good for the body. So it was something to do for the sake of just keeping myself in shape and things of that nature. But again, it was that was the only thing. That was the only reason I was in it. It was because it was part of the curriculum. It was something she wanted to do. She wanted me in, and it was just good for me. But it was, again, never something that she was like, oh, you have to grow up and, you know, go to Alvin Ailey and then maybe go to this and work with Debbie Allen. There was never none of that. It was just, hey, this is what I want you to do, get you well-rounded, and then from there, you take off and do what you want to do.
Definitely, and like you said, it really keeps you in shape. Being an entertainer, being a music artist, if you're getting on stage performing and you're doing these 15, 20-minute sets, you got to be in shape.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also helps you understand and appreciate what goes into that.
Yes.
So when you get in, you know, when you get into venues, you get into spaces, and when you're setting up your shows, or you're about to do a show, you are thinking about things from more than just one angle. You may not think about it just from the angle of the artist, but also the backup dancer. How is that going to affect them? How are we going to have to make sure this whole entire performance is accommodating to what they have to do, to what the band has to do from the musician perspective? So it's been a well-rounded perspective to have of playing an instrument, dancing, and then, of course, just you know, being an artist in general.
Definitely. Let's talk about your creative process. I'm always intrigued by this part. Do you actually sit down and put pen to paper when it comes to writing your music?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I didn't start out that way. Like I said, I started out freestyling.
Yeah.
And I got into that. I forget what documentary or something I was watching. And I know Rakim was talking about how when he first learned to rap, he just put 16 dots on a piece of loose leaf paper and just tried to squeeze in as much as he could into those lines, into that four bar measure. And he was like, when he said that, it just like made me look at it differently. And even prior to then, I had always been writing on paper because you heard artists reference it. But when he said that, at that point, that just kind of made me have even more of a respect for it and be more interested in it. So I always like to put pen to pen.
Definitely. And shout out to Eric B and Rakim. They're so legendary. So legendary.
Right.
Yeah. So I see absolutely where you can draw inspiration from guys like that who are just been doing it. Either legendary. It's flipping it just a little bit. I know another person that you have drawn inspiration from is Keith Murray, and we'll even throw Fabolous in there. What is it about those artists in particular that really inspire you?
They were the first artists to catch my attention with with lyricism. So when I first learned to rap, I was just focused on communicating a message through a rhyme scheme. But it was never, I wasn't thinking so much about punchlines and metaphors or different rhyme schemes and different patterns. And when I started hearing them, I said, there was a line I think Fabulous said, it wasn't even anything that crazy, but it was just clever. And he was like, she loves my smile no matter how chipped my tooth is. And then I think Keith Murray said something like on Special Delivery, he had a bar on there that just kind of like, they say like, how do they do that? I was like, what are they doing when they do that? And then that's what made me even pay attention more, because now it just wasn't about making the words rhyme and getting across a message. It was like, oh, there are cool, intricate ways to do this. Right. We don't just have to always keep it plain. We can raise the bar. We can use entendres, or we can use metaphors. We can do different things and create and get across the message, but do it in a more poetic way.
Right.
So when I heard them start doing that kind of stuff, I was like, oh, I want to take it to that level.
Yes.
So they definitely, that's what I drew from them, is just seeing those clever, witty things packed into their verses that made me say, okay, I want to try that now.
The type of music that they put out, again, it's just timeless. And it was really that what I refer to as more high vibrational music. A lot of what's coming out today, you know, no shade to some of these artists, but they are putting out some really low vibrational music. How important is it to you personally as an artist to put out that type of music that people can really feel good when they listen to and resonate with the words that you're saying in your music?
That is, I think, one of the most important things, because if you're in this to do this as a career, you want to have music that you can play in a decade from now and the crowd still loves it. Mm. So for me, I think it's important that if, you know, whatever you choose to do in your music and whatever you choose to say, you got to make sure that it's a statement that can last. It's not going to be dated. It's not going to be just a trend. It's not going to be something that we grow out of.
Right.
Because that's the worst thing you want to happen, is like, everybody loved your music when they were 14. Now they're 44 and they're like, I'm embarrassed I listened to this. You know what I mean? So for me, that's my goal, is I always want to, whatever I decide to say, I want to say it in a way that it's timeless, that it's something that I could play whenever, perform whenever, and the crowd's like, oh man, I remember how I felt when this came out. I remember how much this meant to me, you know, and they're not going to cringe at their past selves. Like, oh, I can't believe I used to listen to that.
Exactly. They feel good about still listening to it 20, 30, 40 years later.
Right. Right.
Out of all the songs that you've written, recorded, and released that people can go listen to, which one of them is the most personal for you?
Ooh, that's a good one. Oh man, the most personal. I'd have to give you. Wow, I got to give you four, and they're all off the album.
Okay.
I would have to say "Burn It Down," which is like a bonus track to the album. "Can We Talk?" It's this record called "This Too," which is an a cappella record, and "Honesty Hour." Those four. Resonate with me in different ways in my life. Burn It Down was a record that came about during COVID lockdown.
Yes.
And we were seeing a lot of protesting and a lot of things going on, just with how we were dealing with our policing.
Yes.
And for me, there was a lot of passion in that, because you felt very disappointed and where we were as a country. So that record to me, that was just very personal. And then "Can We Talk?" That record has been like the guiding force, and like as I've been maturing with my voice. I started singing that song not too long after I started performing more frequently. And I remember performing that song and like cringing and being nervous. And now I perform that song and I love it. I'm comfortable. I'm in my groove. So that song is near and dear to me. And we did a nice little medley on the album with how we did it too. I'm not going to spoil it, but when y'all hear it, y'all going to dig it. It's a nice little 90s vibe. And then the a cappella record, that was personal, just because I was it dealt with different relationships I had in my life, and it was just speaking to some of those real moments. Intimate relationships that didn't work out and different realizations I had in those. And then lastly, "Honesty Hour" was very personal to me because it was about my personal growth and most importantly about holding myself accountable for the things I needed to change with myself in order to grow. So those are the four that I hold near and dear.
Man, so as a whole, Rebirth and Revelations, it's 8 tracks, but you named 4 of the 8 as your personal ones. It sounds like you really poured everything, your heart, your soul, your spirit, everything into this entire body of work.
Yeah, definitely. I try to do that. And I know, you know, sometimes it doesn't always work out like that because we're in a business and we write songs and sometimes it might be, this is cool. This is just fun.
Yeah.
But I always want to try to put something in there that is meaningful to me because, I want to be linked to this and I always want to have somewhat of an appreciation for this. I never want to get to a space where I don't have a passion for it. So always linking something I write to something real that's current and relevant to me keeps me in that grounded space.
Definitely. And you put out previous products. You had an EP and also a mixtape as well that you put out prior to this album. Do you think that you grew a lot as an artist from those two projects versus this most recent one?
Yes, definitely. I there was a lot of growth. At that time I would say I was focused on just kind of the raw aspect of like, oh, I can do this thing, I can rap, or I can do that, or I can put a harmony here. But they're, A&R, you got to listen to it. You got to see, all right, we've got the bare bones, but what's missing? And I think from those projects till now, there was a lot of growth in just thinking about that. Okay, what's going to really work together as a sound? What is going to sonically really give somebody some sort of interest? And I think that's developed and it's going to continue to develop. But that's what I think really, really grew for me from those projects to now.
Definitely. Do you feel like right now you've completely found the sound that fits who you are as an artist?
I would say I'm close.
Yeah.
I'm close. I'm not going to say I'm 100% there, but I'm close.
Definitely. And I mean, I think it's with anything we do in life, we have to constantly be a work in progress, right? We have to always work on something within ourselves.
Absolutely. Yes, that's true. That's very, very true.
Definitely.
And that's kind of why I say I'm close, because I don't want to say I'm there and I don't want to get comfortable.
Right. So. The only time we should be comfortable is being uncomfortable. Outside of that, we don't need to be comfortable doing anything.
right.
Definitely. Does your family, are they a big fan of your music?
Yeah. I mean, and that's another bar for myself. I said too is I think one day I wanna do something that just blows even them away.
Mm.
You know, because and that's again, it's a high bar because we're used to this as a family. So it's a nice challenge for me, but I definitely want to do something I like, just totally surprises them and throws them completely off. And that's just another thing to keep me uncomfortable and keep me from being complacent. And I love it.
Right. Absolutely. It goes back to, like you said, we're always a work in progress. Like we have to always, because otherwise we do get complacent and we never want that because we fall out of love with the journey. And that's the worst thing that can ever happen. We got to stay in love with the process and the journey because it's ours. You know, we can't compare it to anybody else's.
Absolutely. That's right. That's 100% right.
Going back to writing, I know you said you put pen to paper and you drew inspiration. You know, you mentioned Rakim. Is writing like a form of therapy for you?
Yeah, definitely. It gives you a chance to process a lot of things. And, It also helps you just get to the point of being able to say certain things out loud, right? You go through something and you're trying to figure out the words to describe what you're feeling. And when you're trying to put it to pen and paper, it may not be there right away.
Mm.
But then you sit with it a minute, you start to develop a dialogue of, like, okay, this is kind of what I'm getting at, or this is kind of how I was feeling. And it forms, and then eventually it's lyrics. And now we got a song. So it's definitely therapy because in developing that song, I'm developing verbal ways to say how I'm feeling and express how I'm feeling and put something tangible to it. So now I can process that even further and say, oh, I was feeling like this. Wow. And now I can be like, why was I feeling like that? Or, wow, I can't believe this about my feet, or just anything. So it's definitely a bit of therapy.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. I don't write music, but I do journal, and it's definitely a form of therapy. That's why I always like to ask that question, because I'm like, it can't be much different than, you know, being an artist versus someone who just journals or write poems or whatever. It definitely is like an outlet.
Absolutely. It is. It's always going to be, whatever the creative tier you're in, that creativity is always going to be therapeutic to the artist, no matter what.
100%. Absolutely. I know you do a lot of different stuff within the entertainment industry, the music industry. Are there other business ventures outside of the entertainment industry that you're pursuing or would like to pursue?
I mean, at this time, I also cut hair, I love doing that. And I mean, I think I'll eventually at some point want to do more than one shop and kind of move around and spread that around as well. So that's one thing I'm thinking about. It's on my agenda. We'll see what happens with life. I'm loving that too. And it's also just another creative outlet as well.
Definitely. Definitely. I love that because that's something that's never going to go away. There's always going to be a need and a demand for it.
Of course. Absolutely.
The fellas want their hair crispy. Do you get into like braiding or anything, or is it just strictly you doing cuts?
Strictly doing cuts, but I'm not shying away from it.
Yeah.
I'm not shying away from that either. I mean, I'm not going to say I've pursued it yet, but the idea has crossed my mind before, because you may want to level up. You know what I mean? Being multifaceted in music always elevates you as an artist. So being multifaceted as a hairstylist and a barber, same thing. You know what I mean? You want to elevate your perspective and your skills. So that's definitely something that's crossed my mind before.
100%. Are you currently doing any type of shows or maybe promo tours? Is that something that's on your radar right now?
Absolutely. We're going to be on May 29th. We're going to be at the Birchmere. And I'm going to be opening up for the Manhattans there.
Nice.
It's going to be a dope night. And then down in Atlantic City, I want to say June 29th or June, something like that. Where I'm going to be down there in Atlantic City. It's going to be another nice lineup, and I'll be on the bill as well there. So we're going to keep touring, keep singing, keep having a good time, keep showing people this amazing art.
I love it. When are you going to come all the way down south? I'm out here in Atlanta. There's so much to do out here for a music artist. When are you coming out this way?
You know, that's a good question. Because I'm definitely been told about some of the different, I forget what it's called. CCG. I don't want to say the wrong name. It's something, it's a festival down there they have. I definitely want to come down.
A3C.
A3C.
Yes.
I've heard about that, and I definitely want to take a trip. So it'll be soon for sure, because I'm interested in that. I want to see what that's about.
Yeah, it's ironic because I actually just reached out to them a couple days ago, because they typically do it around the end of September, early October, and they typically start promoting it fairly early in the year, but I haven't seen them post any date yet. So I just reached out to them and I haven't heard back yet. I'm like, when are the dates going to be posted? You know, because we like to plan ahead of time for that stuff. So if I hear anything, I'll keep you posted.
Absolutely. Please do. Because like I said, I would love to come down. I haven't had a chance to really enjoy Atlanta yet, so I would love to come down, share the art, share the music.
Absolutely, and if you do, you have to absolutely come to the studio so we can do this in person. It would be my pleasure.
Of course, that's without a doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. So what else are you working on right now? I know you just recently put the album out, you know, last year, so it's still fairly new, getting it out there to the world. Are there other things within the music industry that you're currently working on? I know you got a new visual out as well.
Right. Yeah, we have the video out for Honesty Hour. And honestly, at this point, we're going to start working on the next project just because I can't wait. I like it. I love the ideas and kind of what I've drawn up for it. So that's what I'm digging into now, the next project and prepping that. And I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, that's where I'm at with it right now.
Absolutely. Are you think you're going to go for a full album or an EP?
This one I think is going to be a full album.
Okay.
There's a lot of ideas all across the board. So this is a lot more, and I'm thinking we're going to go full album.
Love it. What does being in album mode look like for Cal?
Man, it is sitting at my desk and doing a lot of making a lot of calls, sitting at my desk and figuring out, okay, who can we work with? How can we get this together? And okay, cool. This is the idea I have, and a lot of writing and a lot of sitting down and going, okay, well, I got this idea. Let me put this on together. Okay, who's got something for this? This is the kind of feel I'm going for. So I'm busy, and that's it. It's just my all my time is basically focused on that.
Yes.
At that point, that's what album mode is for me. I'm at work, and then I'm at home, and when I'm home, I'm locked into figuring out what can I do next. How can we form the next song? Who can we reach to maybe do some production? That's what I'm on full time.
Definitely. Do you have some go-to producers that you typically reach out to first?
No, I'm open. I'm always open to hearing new producers and new production. But I've been meeting some people that I think I wanna work with more consistently. So I wouldn't say go-to, but they're showing signs that they may be eventually.
Is that something that interests you into tapping into at some point in time? You making your own beats?
Yeah. I got to get a little more patience behind me, but definitely, definitely.
What about the engineering side? Do you mix and master or even record yourself?
I do. I did for a long time. I kind of slowed down when I started getting a little more help and meeting people that had studios and stuff. But yes, I did for a while, and I want to actually get back into it more frequently just to be as skilled as possible in that field.
Absolutely. You know, who better to get your sound exactly the way you want it than you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. You can meet some phenomenal producers, or excuse me, engineers. There's some great engineers out there to get your sound the way you want it. But I just feel like to truly 110% nail it, if you can do it yourself, you're going to be able to go back and make them tweaks and, you know, speed this up and slow this down and, you know, put a little bit of reverb over here, you know, exactly. And you can be patient with it.
Exactly. Exactly. That's always the fun part. I could be the mad scientist for all hours of the night, and nobody's going to bother me. Nobody,
right.
I don't have to worry about holding anybody up. So that's one of the aspects that I look forward to.
Definitely. So just all around being creative on every aspect of what you do. I love it. That is dope.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Absolutely. So we got this record. It's in rotation with us, and we're going to check it out. It's one of the ones you mentioned, Honesty Hour, and the visual is out right now on your YouTube.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Kyle Austin Music. You can check it out. It's great. It's a dope vibe. I hope it resonates with everybody. That's all I can say.
Absolutely. Where did you film it at? Because I like the location. I watched the video.
That was in Jersey City.
Yeah.
So we got all that done in Jersey City, which was really, really cool.
It's fire. I love how you incorporated some like black and white in there and you stood out, you know, with the orange cap on. I was like, that is hard.
Right.
Okay.
I gotta give credit. I gotta give credit where credit's due. That's Eddie, the videographer. He had an idea with that, and I was like, okay, what are you thinking? And when I saw it on screen, I said, oh man, that's genius. So shout out to Eddie, and he's been doing a lot of great stuff on his own. But yeah, that was so fun.
Yes. Sounds like he has a super creative mind. You and him together, you brought it to life. I love it.
Yeah.
Definitely. So anybody tuned in, checked in, make sure you guys head over to YouTube and check out the video. It's been out for a couple months now. Go run them numbers up. Go run them streams up. That's one thing these artists really, they need. They need the subscribers, the views, the streams, all that. So go ahead. It's free. It only takes a couple minutes of your time.
Right. Please. And thank you. We love you so much.
What is this record in particular? I know we briefly spoke on it before because you named the songs off of that album that really were personal for you. But this song in particular, you got the visual for it. It's in rotation with us. What does this song in particular really mean to you?
To me, this song is a conversation with yourself, with myself that needs to be had. I think everybody can relate to. And it's just about us realizing that we have to sometimes stop, take a minute and say, all right, I know things are messed up. I know I'm not happy, but I gotta take some accountability. And I also gotta just sit with myself in the mirror and go, okay, well, what are we gonna do first to fix it before we start dealing with all the external issues and different things? What internally are we gonna change? And I think everybody can resonate with that. And that's why it's something that I really dig. And I think people should check out and they would enjoy it.
Absolutely. That you just 100% nailed it, because you're right. We have to take accountability. And that's something a lot of people have a hard time with. It's taking accountability.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, my business partner, he's my OG. He always says, you know, stop pointing the finger and start pointing the thumb. You know, take that accountability, you know, for our own actions. People are quick to blame others why stuff don't work out for them. And no, like you said, look at the man in the mirror, you know, and say, hey, what can I do to fix this that I'm not happy with about myself? So definitely that's that honesty hour. We all need that from time to time.
Right. We all got to be honest with ourselves.
Yes, 100%. And that's difficult. Like I said, some people have pride and they don't know how to put it to the side. They need to listen to
this
record. Definitely. Where can we find you at next? I know you got a couple shows coming up. Anything else in between? Any other interviews that we can tap in with?
Right now? No, just those dates at the moment. If anything else pops up, you can find it on my Instagram, Cal Alston Music, or on my social media, my Facebook or TikTok, same thing, Cal Alston Music. So, I will be doing more shows in between then and now. I'm certain of it. I'm hoping I'm going to lock down another gig for the summer. So I will keep everyone posted, but please tune into the social media and I'll keep you guys updated.
Absolutely. Most definitely. I know you just said it, but tell them one more time the Instagram name so they can follow you.
Absolutely. It is CALALSTON Music. All one word. I'll say it again. CALALSTON Music.
Definitely. I love that you kept it true to who you are as well.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I wanted to, again, stay as grounded as possible.
Absolutely. Before we get into the song, I know there's a lot of people that love on you, support you. Anybody you want to give thanks to or give a shout out to?
First, Tangi. Second, let me see. My friends, family, everyone close to me that's been supporting me on the journey. That's Jody. That's Winston. That's my mom, my pops. That's all of my friends, Kosi, Fran, so on and so forth. I'm appreciative of everybody, all of my guys from AMPM, everybody. I appreciate you guys for watching, tuning in, listening, and keeping up with it, and everybody else that's doing that as well. Thank you so much.
And shout out to yourself because you're super dope.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I want to say thank you to Tangi for connecting us. You know, she's such a gem. I love her. So shout out to you, Tangi. We love you.
Absolutely.
Definitely. And like I said, please keep me posted if you think there's going to be some time that you come down here, or if I find out some more, you know, if I find out the dates about A3C, I'll keep you posted, because it would be an honor to have you come and sit down and do this in person.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. I would definitely do that.
Love it. Love it. Well, let's check out this record that we've been talking about. For those, if they have not heard it, you guys need to go run it up, stream it, head to YouTube, watch the visual. It's called Honesty Hour. Who produced this particular record?
Honesty Hour. Oh my God. Who produced this record? Woof. I cannot think of the name off the top of my
That's
head.
Okay.
I apologize.
That's okay.
I am so sorry.
That's okay.
But, yeah, it was a dope record though. But I cannot think of the producer right now.
See, that's why we got to get back together and interview again. Cause then next time you'll bring the name to me.
Right.
Definitely. Well, listen, it was such a pleasure to have you here tonight. I absolutely enjoyed the conversation with you. Thank you for taking some time with us tonight here at the Hype 87.3. But we're about to get into this record. Can you go ahead and introduce it for us?
Yeah, guys. Coming up next is my new single, Honesty Hour. Hope you guys enjoy it, because, you know, we all need to be honest with ourselves.
Facts. Let's go.
Come and see what all the hype is about. Tune in to The Hype 87.3.
Oh, it's a hit. Yeah, so I can talk my sh-. Yeah, it's a hit. Let's go. Look, I ain't perfect. I ain't afraid to show it. Too many hands was in my life when I was trying to mold it. See, I was living life for others, but I never folded. I really was deep in stress and just afraid to show it. See, I never assessed for myself what I really wanted until I had a chance at it and started to grab at it. Someone came into my life and I fell into bad habits, paying the hefty prices. I'm losing years of my life. Such a pivotal time where I should have been on my grind for every goal in my mind, but I didn't at the time. Now I'm feeling behind like my hands on... but there's no satisfaction sitting within my grasp. Nip said it was a marathon, I still felt last. While I'm running through this pain, sitting in my past. Pressed about the time because somebody spilled my shit. And ain't this a bitch, I'm the one that gotta mop it. My life been on spare change, straight out of pocket. Now I'm trying to turn from the bulb to the socket. Add value to my words and become a true prophet. Turn my network into something with net worth. Diving into this passion, singing and rapping. Maybe a film or two, but never acting. No more having backs while I posture myself for people who truly just aren't good for my health. No more self-sabotaging to be treated like an option. This is why I had them situationships popping. People pleasing, attention seeking made me an option for a narcissist that just wanted some. If it wasn't for the scars, we could have been locked in. But I had to learn to move forward, no stopping. It's all about me, watch as I get it popping. Like a couple kernels sitting on the stove topping. Let's go.
I've been waiting way too long, but now I am choosing me, ain't no stopping. Standing on my two feet, I won't kneel down. I've been waiting way too long, but now I am choosing me, ain't no stopping now. Yeah.